Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Back live. First Monday of 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the one, the only, the absolute truth show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, one of the most, the king. God damn, I'm good. The king of king himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have, same partner I have for the last 4 years. I can't find anybody else better that will work for free with me, but here he is.
It is Sean Black in the building once again, and it sounds like the Hot Rod got right back into the Fruit Loops.
Oh, yes. I'm on that special juice, so I'm real hyped up right now for the next 5 minutes until I crash again. So let's get this thing started. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call to comment or question or to get pissed off by Sean Black and myself is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, we have been doing this for over 4 years now. We talk about New Year's resolutions, a new start, fresh start, and trying something new. So, but first, do you still, in 2019, still want to piss people off?
Yeah, let's do that.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. First of all,
I'm 100% positive that we must piss people off. By the way, right, before you get into it, we're not that far off from our 200th episode. This is, I believe, episode 196. It's either 195 or 196. But we're getting there. So.
And what, are we planning something big?
I think we're working on something. We'll get to that as we get closer and closer.
Yeah, like 4 weeks from now, a month from now, give or take.
Well, hey, depending on how everything goes, we'll find that out. But let's continue with the pissing people off and usually.
Happy New Year, I guess, since I've not talked to you for a long time.
Happy New Year.
And talk about New Year. Oh, really? There's been a lot of stuff happening. It's not a full week yet of the new year.
Yeah.
But let's start off with this government shutdown that is the second longest in U.S. history due to your president, Trump.
It's not my president.
He's still saying the same thing over and over again. This is your president, okay? You love this man. You fought for this man, and now he's your president, okay? So be happy with that.
If there's any radio silence that happens between now and the end of this show, you know it's because the Hot Rod just got struck by lightning over that BS that he just spewed over the airwaves. But I digress. Continue, Hot Rod.
All right. This has been going on for 14 days, I believe now, of the government shutdown? 17 days. Like I just said, the second longest in U.S. history.
Yes.
Okay. This brought up to my attention, Lady T, a.k.a. teacher, brought this to my attention the other night, how, everybody talk about the R. Kelly and other stuff, but they're not focusing on the government down, which is a lot of problems in this nation. We will talk about R. Kelly later on, of course, but people don't understand how serious this government shutdown is for various reasons, besides Sean's president, Trump, being a bully, as always, basically. I need my wall. If I don't get the money for the wall, I shut down the government, which means that there are people, thousands of people who are not working right now, who are basically, I read reports out, some people have set up a GoFundMe page so the people could pay their own rent. And also, this is the wrong time to have a government shutdown now, because after Christmas, after all the holidays, after all the money they're spending, what is people looking forward to right now? The W-2s.
Mm-hmm.
And if IRS are not working, millions of people are not going to get their money back in time.
Yes.
Which you know that's a big problem. But what's your intake about this government shutdown overall, Sean Black?
It is, without question, the classic example of the President of the United States hijacking another narrative to keep the real pressure away from what we really know. It's a two-pronged attack. One, we know that the President has been on this campaign promise to his constituents about this whole wall, pay for the wall, pay for the wall. And over the last month, we've seen this President go from calling it a wall to calling them slats to calling them steel. We're not going to use concrete anymore. It's going to be steel. It went from, if you remember during his campaign, he said that it would cost $10 billion. It would be $6 billion. It would be 10, 9, and it would change as far as how much money that this whole entire thing would cost. And his sticking point for the entirety of his campaign was Mexico was going to pay for it. And if you remember, after he said that, he got the chance after he became president, he was actually going to be in, I believe it was a conference with the Mexican president, and not once did he mention this entire wall because they looked at him like he was an idiot. Fast forward to today, and we see what the ramifications of this shutdown is because President Trump doesn't get his wall. We see a partial shutdown of the government where people that are on, we're not talking about just, you know, we hear partial shutdown. It's not every part of the government that is going to sacrifice and have these hits. But eventually it will trickle down to regular, quote-unquote, normal working people. But the people that are affected most are, ironically, the people that are supposed to be guarding these same borders that President Trump is trying to get the money for this wall for. The people that are actually doing border security and are supposed to be arming the area, they're not getting paid. 800,000 people are not going to get paid, potentially getting furloughed. People that are on food stamps will not be able to get their money and their paychecks. National parks are closed because they don't have the funding involved. So it's a huge, huge hit to a good chunk of this country, and a lot of people are not going to see any paychecks at all, which is absolutely ridiculous, over a campaign promise that feasibly makes no sense.
And what cracked me up overall about this, we already have a wall / fence, some type of protection down there. So the wall that Desi's talking about is like, what, trying to build a big wall of China? It's like, really? And
yes,
you want money for a wall that we already have. Well, I know I say this a million times, like a broken record. Flint, Michigan still have problems with their water to this day. Why would I use the money for that? Why would I use the money for our education system, our train system, our food system that's really crap, that we're eating crap right now, and giving us cancer and diabetes? Why are we not focusing on
and
that?
And remember, if you recall, speaking of what you just said about the food system, we just got out of a second lettuce outbreak with the salmonella and all of the other germs and all of the other contamination that we've seen in our food system. And here's the thing. The FDA, which is supposed to regulate what goes in as far as testing, making sure food is clean, making sure that there's no contaminants, et cetera, they're part of this. They get caught up in this partial shutdown where they're affected by their funding as well. And the continued deregulation of a lot of these places are what's causing a lot of this stuff. Meanwhile, the president, who wants to make himself look like, oh, well, I've been in Washington all this time, I'm waiting for the Democrats to make a deal, he's squarely putting the blame on the Democrats for this not happening. When he stated before the shutdown began, in his own words, his own quotes, that nobody made up his fake news, that he would be the one to take the responsibility for the shutdown because he feels that it was his responsibility to shut the government down to get border security. Nobody's disputing that we don't need border security. What we don't need is a wall that's not going to do anything at all. And there are certain geographic spots in the area along the border that you can't put a wall on because there's mountainous areas that you can't put anything on. These are the kinds of things that this president continues to harp on when everybody knows, for the most part. I think it's like 48 or 50-some-odd percent of people. I can't remember the exact percentage, but it's well over 45% of people disagree with this whole idea that the president has brought up. And we'll see where it goes.
And once again, our focus in this nation is on war. I have no words about this anymore.
Yeah, think about that. The president is talking about this wall that's going to stop all of this quote-unquote immigration from happening, all of these things from happening. And yet, we've had, in the last week or so, we've heard of two reports of people dying in the custody of the United States being held over because of this whole border security ideal. Remember we heard about that? I think it was a 7-year-old that died in custody coming from Mexico trying to go to the United States in the U.S.'s custody. We've been hearing these kinds of things happening on and the children that have been separated from their parents. So this whole entire issue, it's just so backwards. It's been overly politicized, and it's painful, and it did not need to happen.
And Snoop Dogg, the rapper Snoop Dogg, had posted a video on Instagram, but it made so much sense. I'm not going to repeat every word that he said, because, you know, it's not like the language he used. But he had a very valid point for the Trump supporters. The people who are not working right now, that work for the government, remember, this is your president that did this to you. In 2 years from now, are you going to vote for the same guy that took money out of your wallet? Are you going to vote for the same guy that put you out of work for nonsense? Trump supports them to think about this a little bit more closely, especially with the one that's not working right now. You voted for this. You asked for this. And this is what happened to you.
Exactly.
Let's keep that in mind.
Yeah. All
of those people. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen, all of those people that sat there and did everything in their power to convince themselves that President Trump was the answer for all of their ills. And look at all of the promises that he's tried to make. You remember, it wasn't that long ago, he talked about we're going to bring back the coal industry, which makes no sense because, one, coal is bad for the economy, and, two, it's a dirty, disgusting job from the sense that it's not healthy. He hasn't brought a single coal mine back in. All of those people that were in the middle of the country that voted for Trump because they felt that the Democratic Party and the previous administration didn't care about them, Trump is doing much, much worse. You're losing much more money. And then the tax cuts that he voted for is going to put $10 billion of new debt on the table to something that's already trillions and trillions of dollars in the hole. Think about that.
And it's funny. Like I was just about to say that we are $1 trillion in debt, but we worry about money for a damn wall. Well, on that note, talk about a hole in the wall. We got K-Dog in the house, everyone. K-Dog, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, fellas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year. What a way to start the new year. Listen. All I got to say is this. Here we see the orange man acting like a spoiled little brat, acting like a child throwing a tantrum. I mean, come on now. There's so much going on in this country now. And I mean, I was talking to a couple of my friends last night about this, and we all agreed about one thing. If people don't get their W-2 forms, there's going to be a war out here on these streets. I mean, all this for a wall, a wall we really don't need. Do we need Border Patrol? Of course we do. But a wall? Are you serious?
And remember, it's not even just a wall, because he's changed the name of it from wall to steel slats to
exactly to steel to all of this.
I don't know what it is anymore.
He doesn't even have a clue as to what to call it. Time and time again, we hear this guy talking, and everything that has come out of his mouth is pure nonsense.
But
and,
God,
you know,
let's see.
Yeah,
but
go ahead,
let's say he does get the money for the wall. Well, you know, let's be honest, there'd be some type of stupid compromise that would happen. Will this wall be built in 2 years?
Hell no. No,
no,
it won't. It will not be built in 2 years.
The wall that's already there, they're still building up to reinforce stuff that's already there. Like you said right earlier, there's a wall that's already there. They're already doing construction to reinforce the stuff that's already there. So
the
whole idea behind the wall is it's just a political speaking point to make sure that he can aggrandize himself and to his constituents as a campaign promise.
And Sean Black, don't forget, guys, he was very upset after the election. He was very upset about it, the fact that the Democrats won the House. He threw a tantrum because of that.
So overall, from an outside point of view, what is the hoopla is all about then?
Well,
the hoopla,
like, yes.
Go ahead, Sean.
The hoopla is about the president trying to get his way to reaffirm in his little ego that what he's asking for works, to prove something that his presidency is working. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say this again, this entire shutdown, as far as I'm concerned, is a gigantic distraction from the Mueller report. Because if you think about this whole 3 week period, you've heard very little about what Mueller has done. You've heard bits and pieces here and there about what Mueller's investigation has been doing, et cetera, et cetera. But in that whole process, Trump has had people in his cabinet either quit or fired.
Yep.
And you've also heard lots of news of who's going to replace this person, that person, people refusing the job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the Mueller investigation is the main reason. It's blowing smoke up somebody's backside to get everybody's attention away from the real cog in the machine that is causing Donald Trump the most agita, the most pain. And that's what this is all about, as far as I'm concerned.
And you know what else? There's going to be a whole lot more that's going to be coming. There's going to be a whole lot more to come. Trust me. By the middle of this year. You're going to see.
Happy New Year indeed. Okay, on to the first crazy story of 2019. The first viral video. Like I said, it's only been like, what's today's date? The 7th? It's been so many stories are happening. This video went viral because back down in Florida, I believe Petersburg or somewhere in Florida. Florida is such a crazy state, I just don't care about it.
Oh, my goodness.
There was a white man. This is where the topic goes, where white privilege gone wrong. I was a customer where I asked a black female worker at McDonald's for a straw. And I'm not too sure the conversation, what happened. I believe the girl told her she gave him a straw, but you want another one. But the video that caught everyone's attention was, the guy was yelling at the female employee and went leaned over the counter, and she decided to snatch her by the chest, like by the shirt area. And this girl gave this guy the big ass whooping of a lifetime to his face and was pushing the heck out of this guy.
She was not backing down.
A lot of guys, people broke up the fight, but the man got his ass whooped, then all got arrested due to this video. So basically, Sean Black and K-Dog. Was this white privilege that gone wrong? Or what do you think was the story behind this incident, Sean Black?
Well, go ahead, Sean.
I saw the video. I had to look at it twice before I came to my conclusion. And the one thing that a lot of people aren't really talking about is the fact that after the beating, he was not immediately kicked out of the McDonald's. As a matter of fact, he sat down, and I believe the manager either went to give him his food or went to appease him until the police came. Now, we've seen these kinds of incidents happen where something stupid happens, where a white person either does something to an African American, arguing, physical, whatever is the case. And then something pops up, and if it's not caught on video, you know all hell is going to break loose. So in this instance, we saw not only the fact that this whole entire incident was started over the most minuscule incident, a damn straw. But then what makes it worse is the fact that he decided to go above and beyond her civil rights by grabbing her shirt and trying to yank her over the counter, even while he was getting his head popped in. These kinds of things are issues that happen because there is a lack of respect for women in general, but especially African Americans and minorities in positions where they don't necessarily have quote unquote power. These kinds of incidents happen. He thought that
especially young black women. I don't want to add that.
And he thought that he was superior to her in that moment, that his request for this straw was much more important than anything else in the world at that time. And that's what led to that. And I'm glad that she took boxing and had boxing lessons, because who knows what would have happened if she did not have that training and she wasn't that type of person. She got angry, she got fed up, and that's the result.
So, K-Dog, do you believe at that moment, the woman, knowing the incident, do you believe the woman should be fired for defending herself?
No, she shouldn't be fired.
Defending herself. Some people do not see herself defending herself.
Listen, this woman was being attacked by this stupid idiot over a straw. So, of course, she had a right to defend herself. I mean, come on now. Why would you stand still and allow somebody to attack you like that? You can't, you know, because now these days with what's going on in this country, it's been a madhouse. It's been a complete madhouse with all of this going on. You know? So what could you expect? She had every right.
But do you think, you know how people like to give, from a white privilege point of view, an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this guy was just having a bad day, a bad moment, and decided to take his frustration out?
There was no bad day, because there was no excuse for that kind of behavior whatsoever.
Even
if it was a bad day, but that's no excuse for you to go ahead and physically attack anybody in any type of way.
There was no reason for that
to take place. If he's telling you there's no stores, just walk away. You know, some stupid idiot's gonna come inside of a restaurant and do something like that. That's your fault. It's on you.
Well, I think people forgot that in some parts of Florida, stores are banned, and that's why they hide the stores behind the counter. They give you upon request. Well, you know, a lot of stores are banning stores now to help the environment. To me, it makes a difference with I want my store for my drink, but still.
I'll give you the flip side of that argument of this whole entire thing. What do you think would have been the reaction had we seen a black man beating up a white woman on the other side of that counter and somebody had recorded it? There would have been a completely different reaction.
Of course
the man probably would have been shot on sight by the police who were in the way.
Yeah.
Somebody might have gone in and then did something to try to restrain the guy. I want you to think about this. This guy came in after grabbing the female by the neck and trying to pull her over the counter. Nobody came to this woman's aid until she started to swing at him. I want you to think about that.
And she swung hard.
To their defense, you know, people don't know what they say. People did not know what was going on. You see two people talking or yelling until the fist was flying. Yeah, I mean, these people jump in. You see many times, guys, how fists been flying, and what do people do? Nothing.
They pull out their phone.
At least with this one, I know when you're in a man's shot, At least you wait until something happens. You have to wait until something happens first. So what are you trying to say? The manager should have diffused it right away, not knowing what's going on, or should he have jumped in?
I'm going to tell you why somebody should have. As I stated before, it's one thing if there was just yelling and arguing and screaming. The man reached over the counter
and put his
hands on an employee. There is no explanation or excuse to rationalize that nobody should have done anything. Because as I guarantee you, as I'm sitting here or doing this podcast with you, if the shoe was on the other foot and there was another female who was white behind the counter and a black man, as much as got loud, forget about putting hands on her,
yep,
but just got loud, there would have been a different reaction.
They would have called the cops.
If an African-American or Hispanic person had decided to put their hands on the employee, that's where the line is crossed. If it's yelling, if there's a raised voice, if there's yelling and screaming, okay, I can understand nobody doing anything until they figure out what's happening. But the fact that he put his hands on the employee and yanked her up over the counter.
Yeah.
Somebody should have intervened the second that happened. And I looked at that, and it was at least 5 or so seconds before she was pulling herself back. Then one of the employer, her coworkers, came and started to pull her off, and he just started getting pounded in the head. Now, mind you, while she's punching him, he's still pulling on her. So the intent was for him to still pull her over the counter. So then lies the question. What would have happened had no one intervened? What would have happened had she not defended herself and started punching him in the face? What do you think he would have done in continuing his attack on her? That's the question that should have been asked after that.
Well, my thing is,
exactly,
in Florida, guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, if that happened in New York City, that guy would be beaten up by everyone at the place, from the employees to standbys, everybody will be jumping in, being a crap out of their back. And that's a given fact. But talk about from one white privilege to another white privilege. Sean wants to discuss about a wrestler. This happened late last year, of his hair, cutting off his hair for a wrestling match. Sean,
yes.
I'm sorry, cutting off his dreadlocks.
Yes.
Cutting off his dreadlocks.
Yes, this happened in New Jersey during a high school wrestling meet. And what happened was, for those that don't really either look at, and we're not talking about professional wrestling, we're talking about amateur, high school, collegiate-type wrestling. The person in question, part of a team, was getting ready to start his match with another wrestler. And what ended up happening was that it was stopped initially because this boy, who I believe is 16 or 17, had dreadlocks. And apparently, due to the rules, he was told and forced into saying, you had to remove and get these dreadlocks cut or else you forfeit the match. Now, he has had dreadlocks on his head for years and has wrestled in matches before with his dreadlocks covered. Apparently, the commission did not make concessions for him to take care of that adequately.
Mm-hmm.
So he was
basically
pressured into saying, look, you either cut those dreadlocks or your team is going to forfeit. Now, the saddest part about this whole thing is because he felt like he was going to let his teammates down, he decided to allow them to cut his dreadlocks. Now, for a lot of people that don't realize this about their hair, for those that are listening around the country, there is a lot of people that grow their dreadlocks for religious purposes, for whatever background they have, family reasons, etc. Somebody's hair, especially to the African-American community, their hair is part of who they are. And to have that humiliation of having to stand in front of those hundreds of people that were watching this meet and have his dreadlocks cut is not only humiliating, but demoralizing. And the more important thing about this is, even after all of that, he still won his match.
Well,
I felt he did not want to let his
His emotion was running high.
Yeah.
Because
it had to be running high, because especially that is the most embarrassing and it's humiliating, because by you cutting off, what is the problem with dreadlocks? First of all, what is the problem that she used?
For wrestling reasons, dreadlocks could be dangerous for the wrestling world. I mean, yes, we know a professional wrestler does wrestle with dreadlocks. We know who, you know who I'm talking about, but that's something different. Well, that's the rules, right?
But I've seen, but there's wrestlers, what about people with long hair? Aren't they, would you consider them dangerous too?
And even more so, as I stated before, he's wrestled before with dreadlocks. And he's had them, I believe he had them contained underneath like a like either like a do-rag or some sort of a cap that kept them confined. But this isn't like this is the first time that they talked to him about this, or this is the first time this has happened. He's wrestled with these dreadlocks. He's had these dreadlocks for a number of years. So
what happened if this commissioner or this referee did not know the rules entirely?
It has to be addressed.
Well,
first of all, if you're talking about rules, that's up to the coaches and that's up to the commission to enforce this stuff. If that was what was on the docket, yeah. But as K-Dog stated before, and we've seen this before, where we've seen people with long hair, we've seen other ethnicities that have had long hair in wrestling or other sports where they talk about having long hair, you got to make sure that that's taken care of. And I have never seen anybody that has not been African-American or any minority have to
be
subjected
like that.
To that treatment. It's not the fact that he got the hair cut. It was the fact that it was done in such a humiliating way.
Exactly, in front of everyone, so that everybody could see.
To make him feel lesser than himself. This is almost the way you would see somebody treat an animal, to humiliate them in front of. As I said before, it's one thing if this was taken where they warned him in previous meets, you know, you wore your dreadlocks at this meet, got to do it by this meet. And we warned you twice, we're going to warn you the third time. This is apparently the first time he was warned about this. So this begs him to ask the question, what was the mitigating circumstance that had this particular meet bring up the fact that he had to cut his dreadlocks right then and there? And that's the problem.
Let's see what Brother B has to say about this. He got no hair, so he probably won't be able to answer this question. So, Brother B?
What's up, Brother B? Greetings, salutations. Happy New Year, all that stuff. Well, actually, you know, I really don't like to do stuff like that, but I got to correct. The word, that terminology, dreadlocks, that's not the actual term. It's just locks.
That dread part
came from the white folk, the dreaded locks. It's just locks.
You just educate me. I did not know that. Thank you.
Because, I mean, years ago before I, you know, became domesticated, I used to have locks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I would love to see that. I would love to see that flashback picture.
Yeah, so, you know, but, you know what? The sad part is that he allowed himself to be compromised. I didn't like it. Like, there were some athletes that were, like, you know, sending him messages talking about, you know, congratulations on your fortitude and this, that, and the third, you know, for doing whatever. Like, no, you can't congratulate somebody for compromising themselves and who they are just for what, a game? Like, his hair is gone. That game was just what? That whole match was just what? 2 minutes, 5 minutes? But his hair is gone. It took years to grow that. That's part of your identity. That's who he is. That's That's what he's grown, like his care. And to take that away from him is ridiculous. And to even condone and try to make it seem like it, like right there, that was just all about you do as I say and not as I do. It's all about I'm going to control this. I run this, and you're going to just run around in it.
Well, Mike from California wants to know, where was the coach in all this? So he had interfered and say no. Should that coach and the rest of the kids should have done something in this time of manner? Kato
and this, okay.
Well, what I could say is that the coach could have approached him in a different way, but instead to go ahead and cut that kid's hair in front of people, that right there wasn't even right. It was embarrassing and it was humiliating for him. And you know, once again, what was the big deal about him having locks? Because like I stated before, people have long hair and they wrestle, but nobody says anything about them, do they? I know.
And also, the subtext behind this is that this is not the first incident with this particular coach as far as having racial tones in it. From what I remember reading, that he had gotten into trouble for using the N-word in...
with a fellow referee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so he had, shortly after this, he'd been put on like administrative leave until they can do their own investigation as to what's been going on, and he hasn't been seen hasn't coached since. But in the long run, we know that there seems to be a huge problem in athletics where we're talking about win all the time, and we don't look at what these instances do to the athletes. Remind you, this is a high school athletics. This is a young man. He has not fully grown yet, and he's still developing emotionally, physically, spiritually, and this kind of an incident can actually harm his long-term growth, because now, for whatever reason that he was growing his locks, we know that eventually that he's going to always think about that incident, how he was forced to cut his hair. It's almost like, you know, if you've ever seen African-Americans back in the 50s and 60s when they were arrested,
mm-hmm.
and you would see
right.
them, well, we have to hose these guys down to wash the stink off of them so they get hosed. Instead of them saying, well, you need to get a shower, you need to be washed, they'll hose them down like they're elephants or something. To have to take off all of the hair to shave them down, and there's like a humiliation factor involved. That was not needed in that particular sense. So
I somewhat disagree with you, Sean Black. I don't think this is going to hurt him. I'm like, this is definitely a lesson learned. But this should be as a lesson learned and as a breaking point to move up and step up your game and raise hell. He won that match on emotion. So use that emotion in a positive way and win matches and tell the coach, go screw yourself, because you did not defend me. So the coach should have stepped in? Of course. This is a team effort, right?
Yeah,
should, like,
and that's the
no.
main reason why he got
exactly.
the haircut. But also, to jump on the fact that you said that you think he's going to bounce back off of it, I know it bothered him because the next meet he didn't show up for. And that was mostly because of that.
But why? Why? Because maybe
because
he
didn't,
maybe
because
he didn't get support. Who knows?
Because that's exactly because you listen. If you got a team, if you're a part of a team, and your team is not backing you,
exactly
supporting you, then what's the purpose? Like no one came to his immediate aid and said, "Hey, you're not going to do that. Like you want to forfeit the match? Then you know the hell with all of this. Like we don't even have to play this anymore."
One of his teammates even took up for him. Not one of them did.
There were teammates on the side when he, as he was going through the process, I saw at least three or four of his teammates trying to pump them up, and they were giving them like, you know, hang in there, don't worry about it,
no,
it's going to be fine,
etc. They should have told him, stop, don't do it, culture and say, you know what, for instance, screw you. This is our man. We're going to support him 100%.
Yeah, and the coach,
that
and
is
the
best way to support your teammate.
And nobody
so
stops the coach from doing
what,
this because the coach
so
just pulled out the scissors and just started cutting. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? What, nobody could stop that from happening?
So what
Learn
does that
brother,
say? So what does that say? What does that say about
talk?
Us? No, well, what does that say about black people in sports?
We don't look out for one another.
No, not just that we don't look, listen, we're a commodity. We're only good, you know what I'm saying? We're only good at the numbers and the things that we can do. We're not important. We're only useful for the play. We're only good for the win. Anything else that we do or we have doesn't really matter. As long as we get the job done the way they want it done, that's just what it is.
And, Brother B, I'm so happy you brought this up because this is going to lead to my next topic right now. Despite how much I can't stand talk about this, but the R. Kelly situation over the weekend, hashtag Surviving R. Kelly has been the biggest hot topic on social media because I guess his stories on Lifetime got put out. And before, I'm sure Sean Black would love to talk about R. Kelly, how he'd like to get pissed on by R. Kelly. But besides that, what I find disturbing was the people that keep talking about R. Kelly, like, this is something new. This is something surprising. Something that happened over 20 years ago. Maybe, what, 25 years ago, give or take?
1999, I think. So we're talking
even
almost 20 years ago.
Because even Aaliyah came up in it. They even talked about Aaliyah.
So this is nothing new. So why, at the same time, people are getting upset over R. Kelly back to, like, you know, black people hating other black people. But, Brother B, I'll go start with you first. We have the Harvey Weinstein situation, another monster. You hear a lot of Jewish people hating on Harvey Weinstein right now, or Woody Allen, or Robert Pulaski. Why is it where to see, that's what it seems like in society, black people are quickly to hate other black people, but other monsters in the Jewish community, the white community, don't hear that much hatred compared to the black community?
Listen, this is just going to be a part of, this is a part of the topic of Sunday's show on the menu. It's like, you know what? The house nigga has risen. The field negro is done, and house negro is here. And this is what you have. A bunch of house negroes running around condemning what? R. Kelly for doing something wrong when they knew he was doing wrong from the get-go?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can't run around and be mad at Trump because they can't do anything about that, but they can do something about R. Kelly or Bill Cosby. See, it's a touchable target. You can't touch the ones, you can't get at the ones that you really want, so you just settle for the ones that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so you told me no one cannot touch Harvey Weinstein right now, even though
no.
there are confessions.
White people and Jews will not let you touch Harvey Weinstein. They will not let you. That's for them. That's their kill. Negroes can't touch that.
It's funny. There's more proof on Harvey Weinstein or his monster compared to Bill Cosby. But Bill Cosby is right in jail right now.
Yeah. But once again, whose kill is that? See, R. Kelly, they basically said, no, you guys can have R. Kelly. Because, see, all these women running around talking about, oh, the black woman is the most unprotected person on this earth or whatever. Where were you back then when it came down, when it was Aaliyah? Where were you? Don't talk it now. Because, you know, all of them was jamming to the songs anyway. This is just coming up now, like you gentlemen said, how many years later? Like, come on, you got to call a spade, man. Stop it. Stop it. Because they'll always open the door when you're ready to tear down your own. But you can't do it to one of them. You can't say nothing about Woody Allen. You can't say nothing about Weinstein. You can't say nothing about that dude from Seventh Heaven. You can't say nothing about them. You can't.
And before I give it to Sean, also want to ask the most dominant monster of them all, the Catholic Church. And a priest that touches little boys for years and years to come, people are not talking about that. Well, here we have a movie about R. Kelly, a black man.
And you know what? They're making money, and they're going to make money, and they're making money off of it without his permission, okay. Which means,
and
let's see if they donate any of the proceeds.
And well, the scary part about this is R. Kelly R. Kelly music skyrocketed over the weekend.
Yep.
People went out to buy his music. Oh, monster. This man pissed the little girls. Kidnapped little black women. But here we are still supporting him. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, kiddo, before I go on.
Look, even when the tape came out, like, remember when the tape came out back in 2002? People were still listening to R. Kelly. People were still listening to his music. They were still listening to his music despite the fact that, you know, this sex tape came out of him pissing on young girls, but people were still buying it. People were buying it like hotcakes. So now, what is the point of doing this documentary? Now, I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, but what is the point? Everything is said and done already.
To make money. But
I'm going to point out something else too. And Hot Rod, I'm glad you just pointed out, like, okay, those priests in the Catholic Church, but also let's remember also ministers in other churches too have done the same thing. You know, I'm not going to just generalize one religion, but all religions have that kind of scandal. And of course, in history, let's take a look at one person, even though he's no longer here, Hugh Hefner. How many underage girls did he mess around with?
But he's a hero.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Go ahead, Sean Black. Go ahead, Sean Black.
I think if you're looking at that, this entire R. Kelly situation, and we've talked about this periodically over the last 4 or 5 years, I've also referenced in the past, for those that don't realize it, if you go on, I guess, YouTube or wherever you go, and you check out this episode of the Boondocks that basically satirized the whole R. Kelly instance of the fact
that was funny.
We know the main reason why a lot of these things have happened, and why you figure, how did a black man, when we hear all the things that we hear about African Americans that get into trouble in this way, would usually be thrown under the jail, and he's been able to get away with it. He's been able to pay off the victims, and the alleged have been able to keep quiet for the most part. But what we're also seeing now in the different climate that we have today, the Me Too movement and all of the other things that have gone on, is that there's renewed interest in wondering how on earth does somebody like R. Kelly get away with what he's gotten away with.
Sean, that statement right there, where you said he paid the victims are young girls, correct? So back then, who do you blame for that overall? The victims or the victim parents that basically accepted the money for the young girls?
Well, of course, a lot of those parents that have allowed to take this money based on the fact that they did nothing, either they did nothing initially, or they found out late and then did nothing.
Please,
they have
sorry.
To be culpable.
You know damn what they knew. They all
but
knew.
here's the instance with all of this, in all of that culpability involved, there's a lot of fingers to point. But the bottom line is, R. Kelly was a grown adult. He knew what he was doing, and the fact that he was able to brainwash all of the young kids into thinking, as he's claimed himself as the Pied Piper of R&B, that is probably the most perfect nickname you could give to somebody, because he played his instrument and the women continued to come. And what he did, no matter what he said, between all of the kids and the women, the teenagers, and even his own ex-wife, who was pregnant at the time, that talked about the fact that she had to leave her home in Chicago because of all of the stuff that was going on, without knowing what was going on. I believe she was 4 or 5 months pregnant at the time. All of this stuff happened because one person has the power of his music, sex appeal to the women, whatever it was, that trumped the respect and the care of fellow African-American girls, teenagers, women. And in the process, we see so many people have broken families, broken homes, and it's because of a pimp mentality that R. Kelly had in the way he treated these women. Because the overall thing that I noticed when I heard a lot of these victims talk is the fact that he forced them to, whenever they had to go to the bathroom, they had to ask him. Anytime they had to go somewhere, they had to ask him. And they all had to call him daddy, as if this guy was some sort of pimp. And the
well,
sad
you know
part about
that's how you keep your woman in check. That's how we need
and,
to do
and
so.
Exactly,
keep them,
wow.
Keep them in check, damn it. Let's do
that. That whole pimp mentality is how he brainwashed a lot of these young girls. And they were in situations where maybe they got starstruck, because I know a couple of them said that they were starstruck and they wanted to meet him, et cetera, to the ones
yeah.
that had issues in the past that had no way to relate to a male coming towards them. And this
okay,
is on top of, no, I'm going to bring up one other thing. On top of an incident that happened with Drake, who had something happen from a concert where he is alleged on this concert tape of fondling on stage a 16-year-old. And the video is there at a concert that he did. I believe it happened over the weekend or last week or whatever was the case, where he brought up somebody, brought up a 16-year-old girl. He talked to her. He hugged her. He kissed her. And then he kind of felt her chest. And then he said something along the lines of, oh, your breasts feel incredible, et cetera. Didn't know what her age was. And then she said that she was 16. He said, oh, I can't go to jail right now. And then the worst part about it is the crowd, instead of being disgusted, they kind of laughed like it was funny. And that is the overall problem with why the R. Kelly thing happened, because there wasn't enough attention and care into why this stuff should have been nipped in the bud when it initially happened.
Okay, Tisha, I have to give it to Tisha now. Tisha, you're on the air.
Lady T.
Hey,
what's up,
hey,
lady?
What's
yo.
Up, y'all?
Happy
yo.
New Year.
Happy New Year. I mean, doesn't the R. Kelly stuff just tell you guys sex sells?
Yeah.
What are we going to really take from this, though? I'm saying, we're watching this, we're saying R. Kelly this, this, and that. What are we really going to take from all of this? There's a lot of men out here that are just like R. Kelly still. This should
basically be
an opening, you know, a wake-up call.
The issue that I'm having
on for years
is there's no accountability. Where's the accountability
exactly.
on both ends? The accountability on R. Kelly's side and the accountability on the parents. Like, Lifetime is making a shitload of money off of this and exploiting habits that are not ours. Adopted behavior. Yeah, I said it. Like, we don't, this is, you know what I'm saying? Shit like this, this ain't us. But yet we're sitting up there acting, we're acting like the little children that they made us to be. We're adopting behavior that is not ours, and they're sitting there and they're exploiting it, and there's somebody sitting back saying, oh, look at how they get down. They're oversexed. They're crazy. This is what they're doing. Meanwhile, yeah, the Hugh Hefners of the world go unchecked because what Hugh Hefner was doing was, oh, that was art.
But yeah,
what R.
But
Kelly and everybody else was doing is trash.
Or he got away with it because of white status. But
exactly.
whatever the case is, it's like, how does R. Kelly still get away with this after so many years? We have Bill Cosby going to jail already. Why isn't he going to jail? This has been going on since I was in high school with the R. Kelly. Is he so much of a god? I don't understand that.
And Jason Smith actually went on Instagram earlier today and was kind of responding to this. And she said, in her mind, the reason why this has been the case is that maybe because society just doesn't care about little black girls.
I was just about to say something about that, because you know what it is? Here it is. See, R. Kelly, the scandal happened, and okay, here's the scenario. What would have happened to R. Kelly had any of those little girls that he messed around with than a bunch of white girls.
White privilege again.
What do you think would happen? White privilege again, right? What do you think? You would not hear a single R. Kelly song being played on the air.
It would have hung him off the roof.
You would not see any of R. Kelly. Everything of R. Kelly would have been done and over with.
Yep.
Had it been a bunch of white girls.
Yep.
All right, so you guys going to tell me all these girls, you guys really just think it's only black girls and there weren't any white girls that he messed with? Realistically?
That's interesting.
He's a predator.
I think it may have been swept under the table. I don't believe that.
He's a predator, so he went for what he felt was the weaker.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with color, but I'm sure there's a few white girls in the mix.
Well, but I think in my professional opinion, he probably treated them a little bit different. He probably preferred the black woman, maybe for whatever God knows reason. I'm sure he had his vanilla.
Do you really think in a predator's mind they got time to think, oh, okay, she's white,
no,
so
don't.
I'm going to treat her? No, they don't.
No, they're not talking about predators.
I don't think
Hold on one second. I'm thinking of him having fun. Controlling mind, I think he went after the young black girls to control their mind. The difference between him having sex with the groupies and then going after the young black girls. Think about it. The video, his victims are all young black that quote unquote came out to tell the story, right?
And I think the youngest victim was admitted to being 14 at the time.
Yeah.
So, come on, this is ridiculous.
But guys, aside from the victims, the age, and things like that, is anybody thinking about what was going on in these victim households? You have kids that, for instance, young girls who were raped, and let's say they turned out to be strippers and things like that. For instance, let's say a stepfather molested. I know somebody who this actually happened to, where a stepfather was having sex with her for years. She went. She told her mother. Her mother's like, nothing happened to you. You're exaggerating.
Wow.
Yet the man was having sex with her for many, many years. You need to also get into the heads of these victims. We're in certain households and certain cultures. Molestation is swept under the rug to the point that, oh, nothing happened to you when you tell an adult. When a kid comes to you and tells you this and that has happened to me, you better believe them. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And to add on to Tisha's story, Aaliyah's mother to this day still denies that her daughter, Aaliyah, had sex with R. Kelly on the bus tour.
Heard the rumors because when Aaliyah first came on the scene, R. Kelly was around her a lot.
Some of these parents probably knew R. Kelly. Okay, my daughter's 17. R. Kelly's having sex with her. It's okay. Okay to them until the shit hits the fan. Sorry I have to say it like that.
But now they're concerned. But Tisha, what about years ago when we heard about the Jackson story about when the parents would send the kids over, even though you heard rumors about Michael Jackson molesting kids, parents still send the kids over. Why? Why do you think they did that?
Because of his status. They're so in awe at this point of this person.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, he's a hero. He's this. He's that. Oh my gosh. Like, come on.
Celebrity worship. And if you think about it,
exactly.
What artist do you know of has a studio that has a bed in the middle of the studio? And
that's
crazy. This was brought up by more than one of the victims in this the documentary that they said that he had a studio with his equipment and the mics and everything, and he has a bed, a king size bed with pillows, etc., right in the middle of the studio. If that doesn't raise red flags when the only people that come there are females,
but his wife didn't notice? His wife didn't notice?
Nope.
She noticed something, but she was in denial.
He also enjoyed videotaping. He enjoyed videotaping as well.
Well, okay. On that note, wow. We came up with a lot of stuff today. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, Sean Black did piss on me a few years ago, but I don't have the videotape to that, so I'm sorry. But on that note,
so disgusting.
Oh man,
I'm ashamed of you, Sean.
Welcome back. Be ashamed of me. Ashamed of him.